I want to read just one verse to you. Let's look at the 11th verse. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The voice of them that shall say, underline this next word, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of, underline this word, praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as of at the first, saith the Lord. Two times the word praise appears in this one verse. You know, over the years, there's some things that I've noticed and some things that I've jotted down. Consistently, God has blessed me. And I'm not saying this bragging. I'm saying this out of a thankful heart. Consistently until this year, God has always allowed me to probably be in about 100 different churches or more every year preaching. And I'm thankful for that. And it's given me a great opportunity to watch people after 44 years of preaching on the different ways that they praise the Lord. Now, I go into some churches where, to be honest, there is no freedom to worship at all. None. It's frowned upon. It's looked down upon. There's no freedom to worship. And really, to be honest, when I leave, I have to ask myself the question, why did they call me here? Because you know how I am. I don't mean this bad, but I'm loud. I'm not changing that. I'm too far in the journey now. Some things just aren't worth changing. I'm staying with it. I know things change, but there's some things I'm staying with. I started with it. I'm still with it. And Lord willing, I'm going to die with it or be raptured with it, one of the two. But there's some places that have no freedom of worship. There's some places that I go that they have what appears to be worship, but it is chaos. There's a lot of emotionalism, but there's no presence of God. You know, they shout, but it's at the wrong time. They praise God, but the timing is wrong. Stay with me today now. It gets better. But you've been in those kind of environments where it's just, I'm just being sincere. It's done to say, instead of say, thank you, Lord, it's done to say, everybody look at me. And we've all experienced that. You call us judgmental or whatever you want to, but it doesn't touch your heart. It's out of place. And we've all been at that experience where there's no freedom of worship and where the freedom of worship, as it appears, is more chaos. But then I think probably the biggest thing, though, that I've seen consistently is most churches that I go into, they will probably teach or preach or practice that there is only one way to praise or maybe two ways to praise. They're consistent. Everybody there does one or two things, and they do the same one or two things over and over and over again. The problem with that is, if we're not careful, it'll become a routine to us. And we've all done things out of routine. And we just get in a rut, and we get in a routine. And because of that, we don't mean to be empty in our praise, but we do get empty in our praise. And empty praise is praise that's easy to interrupt. Praise that's genuine, it's hard to stop. You can't put the brakes on it. You just can't when it comes from God. But now, this book we call the Bible, among other things, it is a book of praise. It's a book that is written that everything that's done is to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord and to prove to us how much that we need to praise God. But the Hebrews were not like us. They didn't have just one word for praise. They had many words for praise. I don't have time in this series to go into all of them. Eventually, I hope to cover at least seven of them, and I'm covering two of them today, just two points to the message, but they're so similar that I don't see how you could cover one without covering the other. Those two words appear in this text that I gave to you. The first word is the word yada. Y-A-D-A-H. The second word is todah. T-O-W, like a tow truck, D-A-H. Now, I know some of you cringe when you hear Greek or you hear Hebrew, but it's not so much what the word is, it's that they not only had these different words, but every word had a different meaning. And they would use the appropriate word for the appropriate type of praise. Because God wants our praise to matter. He wants our praise to be significant. Now, when you see those two words, yada, Y-A-D-A-H, and todah, T-O-W-D-A-H, do you see a similarity in them? The end of the word, D-A-H. Because they come from the basic same root word. Now, what's amazing is if you look up the meaning of those words initially, they look like they're very similar. So they seem like a similar type of praise because every word in Hebrew, a word for praise, also has an action associated with it. So really the action is the same for both of these words, but the reason why you perform the action is what's different. Does that make sense? So if you read that phrase again, it says the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say praise, yada, yada, the Lord of hosts. And then it gives the reason. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise, todah, the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. So he gives not only the word, but he gives the meaning behind the word. Let's look at him real quick. Yada. What does that word mean? Well, the word basically means it is a extension or lifting of the hands. An extension or a lifting of the hand. Have you ever seen anybody in a service? Oh, how I miss Betty Dunham. Betty Dunham, when she'd come into church, she'd come in the back and she'd come in with her hands lifted. She'd stand and not say a single word, but she'd stand with her hands lifted. She'd always have open hands. Then I've seen others, many of you this morning, that you lifted your hands in prayer. This lifting of the hands, though, and remember, you're going to find out, todah means the same thing exactly. The extension of the hand or the lifting of the hand. So the reason I put these words together is that they mean the same thing. We're going to lift holy hands to the Lord. We're going to invite the presence of God. We're going to say, Lord, without you we can do nothing. But it's not only the action, it's why you do the action. Now, for time's sake today, I normally have you go along with me and read the passage. If you can write it down, fine. You'll probably not keep up with me. But let me give you the reason behind. First of all, yada. You'll find yada is in several places in the Word of God. But I'm going to read just a few to you. First of all, in Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord. And then the reason why, according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. In Psalm 9:1, to the chief musician upon Muthalamon, a psalm of David, I will yada praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth, and here's the reason why, all thy marvelous works. So he's saying that really when we extend our hands in this nature, we're extending our hands because it is a natural response, spiritually speaking, even though it's a spiritual response, it is our body reacting because we received something from God. So God gives us something, and in turn, we lift our hands. Go back to your text. Why does he praise the Lord of hosts? For the Lord is good. The Bible says his mercy endureth forever. He's saying God has poured out goodness on me. What kind of goodness does he give? Well, he says we lift our hands to him because he gives things like wisdom. We find that mentioned in Psalm 138, 4. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, yada thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Have you ever heard something from the word of God or read something in the word of God? And when God gives you that revelation from it and the understanding from it, you have to lift your head and say, Lord, that's what you meant. Not only wisdom, but provision. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, you remember when we dealt with Leah having Judah. The Bible says when she had Judah, she conceived and bare a son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Why was she praising the Lord? God of praise. God gave her a son with a revelation. Instead of trying to have children to please her husband, get her husband to love her, now suddenly she said, God's given me life, and life comes from God, and I praise God for life. He provided for her. Has God ever given you a job when you needed one? Yada. Has God ever put money in your bank account when you needed it? Yada. Has God ever provided healing for you? Yada. Has God ever sent the right thing at the right time? Yada. Has God given you grace sufficient and provided salvation for you? Yada. Has God provided a place in heaven for you? Yada. That's what he's saying. It's a response to what God has done. When somebody gets saved, yada. Praise the Lord. He's done mighty works. He's done great things. So his presence is also another reason. Provision, his wisdom, and his presence. When Solomon prayed, he lifted his hands when he dedicated the temple and he prayed to the Lord. And when the dedication prayer was finished, the glory of God came in. And 2 Chronicles 7:3 says, and when all the children of God saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised Yada, the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I don't know about you, but every time I walk into this house of God that God has given us here at Rubyville, I always want to stop and lift my hands and say, Yada, Lord, you didn't have to give us something like this, but we praise you that you have done that. And when the presence of God comes, you just get a case of the can't help us. You've got to lift your hands and say, God is here. I never want to be a church that we just lift our hands to be lifting our hands. We lift our hands because of the presence of God. Well then, what about todah? What does that mean? An extension or throwing out of the hands. Preacher, it's the same definition. Yes, but the meaning is different. Notice our text again. He says, the sacrifice of praise. The difference between the two. One, you lift your hands, yada, because of what you've received from God. Todah, you lift your hands for what you've not yet received, but by the eye of faith, you're going to receive from God. One is not what you have merely received, but it's what you're expecting to receive from God. When God gives it to us, we ought to praise him. Now, I find folks that only praise him when they get it. But the greatest praise is what we call a praise of thanksgiving. God says in his word, another word in your King James Bible for praise is thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is a thank offering to the Lord, saying, God, I haven't got it yet, but I'm going to go ahead and praise you anyway, because it's coming, Lord. By the eye of faith, I see it coming, and I know that it's on its way. So, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and praise you, even though it's not yet manifest, even though it's not yet revealed. You're still God, and you're still on the throne, and I'm still going to praise you anyway. Toda. That says it's not happened, but I'll praise anyway. Psalm 42:4 says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and Toda, praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. In other words, nothing good was happening, but we praised God anyway. I could not stand to pastor a church that has to wait for something good to happen to praise God. I think faith praise is as important in the eyes of God as reality praise when God does it. He also said in Psalm 56:12, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render toda, praises unto thee. You know this one. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Psalm 101. Have you ever noticed, though, how that starts? It starts. The subscript of it is a psalm of praise, toda. In other words, they're making a joyful noise unto the Lord, and nothing is visible yet. Heaven is not visible to me yet, but I sure do praise him for it. It's as real as though I'm standing in it right now. The eye of faith allows us to see certain things. So you have to sometimes do it with sacrifice. We talk about sacrificial giving, but the greatest sacrificial giving in your life is when there's no evidence of it, there's no proof of it, there's no reality of it. It looks like everything is against you, looks like there's no way you're coming out. And you know what? You just go ahead and lift your hands anyway and say, God, you are the Lord God, and beside you there is none other, and there's none like you in all of heaven and all of earth, and I'll praise you anyway. Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving, toda, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 107:22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of toda, and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 116:17. I will offer thee the sacrifice of toda, and will call upon the name of the Lord. Amos 4:5. And offer a sacrifice of toda with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And we read also in Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of toda. I will pay that that I avowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He didn't say it had come yet. He said deliverance was yet to come to him. But he said, I'm going to praise him in advance, because he'll do what he said he would do. Do you know, when they offered their sacrifices, many of the sacrifices, some say by Jewish tradition, all the sacrifices that were offered, they had to be offered with lifted hands. Because a sacrifice that is not filled with praise means nothing to God. You know, we're coming on the holiday season, Christmas time. All kinds of people will do a lot of good things for people that are poor and in need. A lot of people will feed hungry people, will get gifts for children in need. All of that's good. But if you don't do it to praise God, it's empty. You'll get the praise of the person and the thanks of the person that you give it to, but that's as far as it goes. But as a believer, if I help the needy, and I do it in the name of the Lord, and I do it with lifted hands before God, the sacrifice is not only accepted by the individual, it's accepted by God. Now, preacher, that sounds great. But what's the meaning of all of it? Well, for 4 months I've had to practice it. I wasn't so much concerned about filling this church, and I wasn't so much concerned about filling the expectations of others because of my physical incapabilities. I was more concerned about failing God. And I determined early on, as long as God gave me strength, I could not offer him yada for healing yet, but I could offer him toda, because it was a reality that the work is done. Candy and I sat in the balcony service after service. Anyone that sat by me will tell you, I may have had to stagger to get to the rail. I may have been awkward, but I lifted holy hands to God because he's still worthy of praise. He's still the healer, even though it's not manifest in my body yet. He's still the healer. Toda. Why do you offer toda? Because if you don't offer toda, you'll never be able to offer yada. If you offer praise on the other side of your answer, then you'll be able to praise him once the answer comes. Toda can turn into yada. What I'm saying is eventually praise that is given in sacrifice will eventually become reality, and you get to praise him and you get to look the devil in the eye and say, I told you all along. I told you all along. God's word is sure, and God will do what he promised. He's faithful. I'm about to close, but I want to say this. A lot of you, I hope you don't think that Candy and I have been evasive of you since Friday. It's just I wanted to try to share with the church where that I'm at in my journey. You have offered praise to God and prayed the prayer of faith. I didn't need pity. I needed people that knew the power of prayer and could pray the prayer of faith. That means they lift their hands to the Lord and praise God as though it's done. And without fear and doubting, we lift holy hands to the Lord. So I have my appointment with the physician at Cleveland Clinic, the specialist. Many of you may know or may not know. It's a complicated thing, and let me try to simplify what they have determined through all of it. First of all, I praise God because it beats the alternative. He gave Candy and I 3 possible diagnoses. At the bottom of the list was syringomyelia. I'd have a growth in my spinal cord, and that caused the problem. But since the problem was spreading throughout my body, they eliminated that at Cleveland. And they said, you have the growth, and why you don't have problems? Yada. It's there. They don't know how it's there. They don't know how long it's been there. I don't care. I didn't know it before it came along. I don't know it after, and I really don't care. I'll get a new body. It won't be there then. So if it would have just been the upper part of my body, numbness in my hands, that was it. But since the numbness spread from my hands to my back, down to my sides, down to my front, to my hip, to the top of my right leg, all I had left was I could feel my left leg and from here down on my right leg. That's it. You could stick me with any needle you wanted to, do anything you wanted. I couldn't feel it. So they did this spinal tap, and they first sent everything to Mayo. Long story short, Cleveland wound up with it going to Cleveland Clinic, from Cleveland Clinic to all the way to Utah. And it took over 4 weeks to run the test. When they got the first test back, they said, you've got infection and severe inflammation from your spinal fluid. And what was so weird, it didn't show up in my blood. but it was showing up in my neurological system. So immediately these MRIs, they were looking for lesions. They thought I had MS. So that's what they were looking for. Immediately they rule that out. They say there's no lesions. All of that's good. Praise God for that. Yada. But still, with the infection, they contact our local doctors. I had a great infectious disease doctor here. You know what I think of Carrie. She's the best. She's the best. Compassionate, prayed for wisdom, bless her heart. And long story short, they made the decision. They gave me a choice. We can start treatments because it's going to be several weeks until we get these results back to verify what the source of it is. And we can start these treatments that will stop possibly the inflammation and the spread of the infection because it's creating damage to my nervous system. If you see me stagger, you tell the devil I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost. Toda. And so immediately the tingling stopped, and praise God, the numbness left here, which meant my digestive system started working again. Okay. Praise God. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I have no feeling. All I have feeling in is this. I can check my sugar every day, never feel it. Take a shot, never feel it. They put in PICC lines, I never felt it. They ran tests on my spine, I never felt it. I'm not kidding you, I can't feel it. Can't feel it. Be a good time to beat me up. And but it stopped it immediately, and that got better. The resulting of the other is it's damage to my nervous system. So long story short, the doctor at Cleveland said, you have neurological problems because you have Lyme disease. I got bit with a tick. The only problem of it is I didn't know I got bit with a tick. So not knowing that I got bit with a tick, I wasn't treated because I had no symptoms. I got Bell's palsy, and with Lyme disease, you get chills and fever and all the other things when they can test it actively in your blood. But when they tested it, by that time, I was already having pain, so I was taking Tylenol. They put me on large doses of steroids because they had to help me get so that I wasn't talking like this, and I'm not making fun of nobody. That's how I talked. And be careful if you make fun of anybody like that. There's a lot of ticks out there. But that's all that I thought that I had. And they said that's exactly how we would have treated it here. But it masked symptoms. So it got into my central nervous system, long story short. So by the time the tests come back, had they not started the treatment early to stop that, he said, I'm glad you've got quality of life. He said, what have you been doing? I said, I've been preaching. He said, oh, that's great. He said, what's your activity level? I said, I have a lot of fatigue. I preach, I get tired, I get up, I rest just a few minutes, I get up, and I go preach again. Preached a funeral yesterday, a funeral on Friday night, preached a funeral on Thursday. I said, I just keep going. I just keep preaching. I mean, the way I felt about it, I can, when I feel bad or I can, when I feel good, it's still to God. He said, I can give you no promise that you'll, after treatment, that you'll recover no more than what you've recovered. You might have the numbness. You might continue to stagger. He said, our test here is there's nothing we can do, and we've tried everything for people that got it. He said, but you're a very blessed man. You're not in a wheelchair. You're able to function. You're able to walk. You're able to preach. He said, you've got quality of life. And I said, I'm not only able to preach, I'm able to yell at him, doctor. Yeah. And I don't have all of the full energy, but somebody said, What do you do? Well, because of the medication and our good doctors here in the area and the teams that's worked together with me and the doctors there, all of your prayers and stopping the disease, I say to the Lord, yada. And for all of the numbness and the staggering around and all the other problems, I say, Toda. He is so good to me. He didn't know me one thing. Hey, can you sing that this morning? Yeah, I don't know what you had for invitation, but it just changed. He don't owe me one thing. He didn't have to do one thing. He did enough for me when he saved my soul. But you know, without God, we have nothing to look forward to. Nothing at all. But this morning we're here in Rubyville, and you may be on this side of your answer, but still praise him. You may be on the other side of your answer, but still praise him. He is God regardless of which side of the problem that you're on. He's still God. What I'd like today is to see a group of people, whether you say anything or not, that's fine. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to run the aisles. But one of the ways we can praise God.